Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
Amen. And how many of you know that God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others?
Yeah.
Amen. You know, if you have, there's a place on earth called the Dead Sea. And you probably saw that on your journey, didn't you? And in the Dead Sea, the reason that it's dead is because all of this water is flowing into it, but nothing leaves. And because it doesn't give out anything, it just takes and takes and takes, it's become dead. Things can't grow in it. All right? And the same way, a lot of us as believers, we're kind of like the Dead Sea. We take and take and take, but nothing ever comes out. And God has put each one of us here to be a blessing. He blesses us so that we can bless others. Now, I'm not saying any one way particularly. If He has blessed you with His love, then you can share that love with a smile, can't you? Amen. Just to share in some way what God has given us. And so that's what He's put us here for. At any rate, we've really gone way over this morning, and so you'll forgive me if we don't have our responsive reading of the Word. In John chapter 16, beginning in verse 12, John chapter 16, beginning in verse 12, Jesus is saying, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative or behalf, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will disclose to you what is to come. Verse 14, He will glorify Me, for He will take of Mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He takes of Mine and will disclose it to you. A little while and you will see, and you will no longer see Me. And again a little while and you will see Me. And we'll just leave it right there for this morning. Father God, again, guide us into Your perfect Word this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. And so this is the first Sunday after Pentecost. And we are studying the ministry of the third person of the Trinity. And we see here in John chapter 16 where Jesus is warning, I don't know if warning is the right the disciples that the Holy Spirit is going to come. And that the Holy Spirit is going to have a very real ministry, very important ministry in the life of the church. And he also is saying that that there is so much more to living a Christian life than what Jesus has been able to reveal during His short 3.5 years on this earth. But Jesus goes on to say in John chapter 16 that when the Holy Spirit comes, then the Holy Spirit's going to be able to reveal to you more of what is involved in living for Jesus. And the very real manifestation of that was as the Holy Spirit led the apostles and the different writers in the New Testament to write out these epistles that now guide us today, some 2,000 years later. How would we know about the fruit of the Spirit or any of these other giftings that God has for us, all of His promises, all of His blessings, if it weren't for the writings of Paul Paul and Peter and all of those whose writings comprise most of the New Testament pages. And so Jesus is saying, I haven't had a chance to reveal it all to you, but the Holy Spirit is going to come. And then I want us to turn in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, and we're going to be beginning in verse 6. And this is just before the ascension, the return of Jesus back to glory. Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. And I'm sorry I didn't put it in your Bible, so, or in your bulletins this morning, so we'll just have to turn in our Bibles. You can follow along as I read. And so when they had come together and they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time that you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even the uttermost parts of the earth. And verse 9, and after he had said these things, he was lifted up, and while they were looking on, a cloud received him out of their sight. And so again, we have the second time when Jesus is trying to set the disciples on track, looking for the new ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. You see, the disciples were still hung up on, okay, Jesus, is this when, you know, is this the time when you're going to set up your earthly kingdom? You're going to be the Messiah. You're going to reign from David's throne in Jerusalem, and we get to reign with you in power. We are your right hand and your left hand men up here, and look at all the authority and power and glory and reverence and everything that we get because we get to rule with you. And so is this the time, Jesus? And Jesus says, no, this isn't the time, and that's not even for me to say. That's my Father's responsibility. But he says, there is something that you do need to be paying attention to. Now listen, all of us have stood by the bedside or the casket of a loved one who is dying or has died, and we know that their last words were their most precious words to us. I know with my own father, we had been planning to go to Florida and visit him on his 80th birthday. And a week before his birthday, he passed away. And so I didn't have that chance to go and to be with him. And so here I am, you know, second best, sitting by his casket. I sure would have rather been able to have heard his voice rather than just sit there by a body that wasn't him anyhow. And so here is a most precious time, maybe the most precious time in the lives of Jesus with his disciples. And what does he choose to share with them? He chooses to redirect their lives. Don't think about the kingdom, guys, right now. Don't think about the Messiah coming and establishing the kingdom. Right now, God is doing a new thing, and you need to be looking for the Holy Spirit of God. Remember a few days ago, I was talking about the Spirit of God, Jesus was telling them. And so the Spirit is going to come. And listen what he says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. He's saying, don't look for me and my power. Because that's, you're kind of riding on my coattails, guys. You're waiting for me to set myself up as Messiah so that you can rule with me on this earth. Don't be looking to me and my power, because God's going to give you power through the Holy Spirit. He's going to give you authority through the Holy Spirit. But why does God give power or authority to somebody? It's to accomplish God's will, not our will. Amen? I mean, if you remember in the life of Samson, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit of God would come upon somebody to accomplish a specific reason, and then he would leave. All right, once that task had been completed. And so the nation of Israel would cry out, and they would be, you know, trodden underfoot by foreign oppressors, and God would send His Holy Spirit, and He would raise up a judge, and the judge would rise up and set Israel free, and everything would be just great for a few years, and then Israel would fall back into sin, and then they would cry, and then God would send in oppressors, and then Israel would cry out under their oppression, and God would raise up a judge to come in and set them free. And it's happened time after time after time. And we see in the life of Samson, who was one of the judges, that the Spirit of God would come upon him, and then he would be able to do this supernatural thing with the strength that God had endowed him with. Amen? And so at that time, we were the people, human beings, God's children, were empowered for a specific reason with the Spirit of God, and then the Spirit of God would leave. But in this age, God is saying, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and He's just going to stay with you. Amen? He's going to stay with it. Each of us have received the Spirit of God when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen? And I can tell that because I see the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, long-suffering. All these, are, the Bible says that's the fruit of the Spirit. That's what begins to manifest itself when the Spirit of God gets in your heart. Amen? And so Jesus is telling His disciples, you're going to receive power. Okay? Now the question is, for what? For what? Jesus, this is His last moments. In just a few seconds, His feet are going to part from the earth, and Jesus is going to ascend into heaven, and these are Jesus' last words. And what is He saying? You're going to receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon me. And what does He say is going to happen? You will be my witnesses. Amen? What has Jesus called for us to be in these last days? His witnesses. What has He empowered us to be? His witnesses. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even the remotest parts of the earth. And so we see here that God is revealing to us His way of evangelism. And it's ever increasing circles. First in Jerusalem, the city. Then in Judea, the county. Then in Samaria, the state. And then in the uttermost parts of the world. Amen? And so this was God's plan. And then the rest of all of the book of Acts, I can boil it down to you in this, is simply how two churches responded to the Great Commission. That you will be my witnesses. You have the church in Jerusalem that they just chose to stay in Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, very few of them left Jerusalem. They just stay there. Jesus says, I want you to be my witnesses first in Jerusalem, but then to go out from there. And we know that the church in Jerusalem didn't go out until Antiochus Epiphanes came in and destroyed Jerusalem in AD 70. They said, yeah, we know what Jesus said, but it sure is comfortable here in Jerusalem. All right? But there was another church, the church of Antioch. And they said, you know what? Here we are. This is our Jerusalem. This is our city. But we're going to be sending people out. We're going to be telling people everywhere about Jesus. And which church sent the Apostle Paul out? Antioch. It was Antioch. It wasn't the church at Jerusalem that sent out Paul. It was the church in Antioch. Now, does that mean that the church in Jerusalem didn't send out any disciples? No, we know that's not true because doubting Thomas, he went to Cochin in India in the first century. Amen. And he brought Christianity to Asia, and that would become the Orthodox churches. The Syriac Orthodox and all the Orthodox churches were because that missionary Thomas was sent out to Cochin. And we know that Joseph of Arimathea went to the British Isles and took Christianity to Britain. Of course, it wasn't known as Great Britain or anything. It was just, you know, those bad people up there. They're pretty savage people up in that area. But he took Christianity up there. But what I wanted us to see this morning is that there is a job for everybody. A job for everybody. That no matter where God has placed you, you are expected to be His witness. For those of us that live in the Grand Parkway, this is our Jerusalem. Amen? And so we are to be His witnesses in Jerusalem. Amen? That's why we are here. Now it could be that some of us might find ourselves someplace else. Like we might go on a trip over to the Holy Land. So there you would find yourself in a different place being able to share the good news of Jesus Christ. To travel back to Alaska, to the cold and barren and godless areas of this world. Inhabited only by Eskimos and dog sleds and things like that. And polar bears. There we go. And geologists. Yes, geologists. All right, there you go. All right. So, but we're not saying that everybody has to get up and be a missionary, because every one of us already are a missionary. We just have to recognize that this is the place that God has put us. Amen? And so many times my father would say, would ask of me, son, why do you have to go to these places? Remember, I was raised by Marines. Marines are trained, just handle the situation. If somebody needs killing, just kill them. All right? That's how they're trained. And so my father would ask me, well, son, surely when you go to these places, you're at least carrying a pistol with you. No, Dad, I don't carry a gun. Well, surely you have armed bodyguards with you. No, Dad, don't have any armed bodyguards with me. Well, then why do you have to go? Because this is just where God has put me. Amen? So each one of us, wherever God puts us, what does Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 say? That we receive power from the Holy Spirit to be a witness, no matter where we are at. Amen? And so what is our job? Just to be a witness. What were Jesus' parting remarks? Be a witness. How are we going to do it? He says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to empower you. He's going to give you the words to say. He's going to give you the boldness. I know I've told this story so many times, but you know, here's the Apostle Paul, whose only desire was to go to Rome, and God would never let him go to Rome. He so badly wanted to go to Rome, and God's saying, well, I'm going to let you go to Rome one of these days, but you ain't going to like it when you get there. And so Paul finally gets to go to Rome. And what happens? He's imprisoned. He finds himself chained to Roman guards. It wasn't really all that bad. For the most part, he lived in the palace, you know, but still you're chained up to a couple of old stinky guards, all right? What would our response be in that situation? Oh, boo-hoo, poor me. Jesus, all I wanted to do was preach the word, and here I am chained to these two guys. But you see, Paul's response was a little bit different, wasn't it? He says, oh, boo-hoo, poor these guys, because all they wanted to do was do their job, and they're chained to me. Amen? See, all of you can get up and walk out of here whenever you want to. You're not a prisoner here, are you? These two guys... See, we would see ourselves in Paul's position and we would say, we're a prisoner. Paul saw himself in his position and said, they're prisoners. I've got them all day. They ain't going nowhere. You know? That's right. Hey guys, have I told you the one? Yes, we've told you. Where are you going to hear it again? That's right. He had a cap. See, we would think we're the ones captive. Paul said, no, you guys are captive. When I was going to seminary, I worked in a factory. And I had the job of cleaning out railroad cars, taking all the it's called dunnage, all the stuff that's out of them so that we could put the appliances and stuff in them. And it was a two-man job. And I was the lead guy on that team. And so many times people would be assigned to work with me. And you could see it when the boss is handing out assignments at the first part of the shift. They would say, and by the way, just to let you know, the boss called me Albert. Why, I don't know. That's just my name. In the shop, you just learn to answer to whatever they call you, okay? I'm a prince, right, Prince Albert. And he would say, okay, Frank, you're working with Albert today, and you can see Frank. 8 hours, I'm going to hear about Jesus. Yeah? 8 hours, I'm just going to be telling you about Jesus. Now, I was kind of tactful about it, and I had the privilege of kneeling down with a bunch of the guys in the back of railroad cars and leading them to the Lord. Amen? But folks, verse 8 in each of your lives, how it manifests itself in your life, you will receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. How that manifests in your life depends on your outlook. Depends on you. Oh, woe is me. Look at this terrible thing that has happened to me. You're not going to be a very good witness. But when you recognize that God is the God of heaven, that He spoke everything that you can see and everything that you can't see into existence by the word of His mouth, and He certainly knows where I am. He certainly has complete authority over where I'm at in this very moment. And so He certainly has given me the opportunity to be that witness for Him. Amen? Amen. So at that point, we don't become the captives. We're not the captives anymore. Amen? We're the captors. Welcome to my house. Now let me tell you about Jesus. Amen? Amen? All right. So as we remember on this Memorial Day, well, Pastor, how are you going to tie in Memorial Day to that? Memorial Day is our time to remember and to commemorate the men and the women that did whatever had to be done to secure the freedom and the security of this country. Amen? That's what Memorial Day is. We'll be here tomorrow at around noon, and we'll be singing some songs or whatever. Then I guess you all have a hot dog roast or something going on at 1 o'clock, but the church will be here a little earlier, and we'll have a little service downstairs in the clubhouse, I hope. But it's a time when we commemorate what had been done to secure our freedom. In the first Sunday after Pentecost, we look at all that God has done to secure us the freedom of sharing what God has done for us with the world around us. Amen? Amen.
When comes another day, time doesn't wait, it doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows. Will you choose to stand or fall? Just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. You lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to the shine.